Welcome one and all to our main church service on this fourth day of April 2020. Welcome to those joining us here in the room or on the phone or listening to the recording, and glad to have you in fellowship, especially today when there was a little roadblock getting into the room. The Zoom platform decided that they were going to update the software a day early. They were supposed to do it tomorrow on the 5th, but for some reason it happened today, and they changed the software to the point that you need. It's required now. I can't change it. It's required to have a password to get into the room, as well as a different password on the phone to get into the room. And that would be a landline phone, not a smartphone. And praise the Lord, through the help of Sister Rose and Sister Cece and others spreading the word fast, I quickly sent out some emails and letting everyone know of the change in the Zoom platform software. So praise the Lord, the password is always going to be the same. It's not going to change, which is a blessing. It would really be a hassle if it was different every day. But I will get it posted on the website, letting everyone know of the password to use for both computer or landline phones. But that wouldn't have worked for today. But anyway, praise the Lord that we have so many with us. And yeah, true. Yeah, Zoom had a security issue. But they mentioned it was going to take place on the 5th. And so I figured, okay, well, that's great. We'll be able to have our church services without a hitch. And then I could send out an email letting everyone know the difference after today. But it didn't work out that way. But praise the Lord that we're able to have a majority of our home church here. And next week we'll have everyone back, and looking forward to guests as well. Yeah, I will be posting it on the website tomorrow. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And our opening song for today's service is titled A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Very appropriate for this day and age. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever may betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, a cooling shade on the burning sand. Faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand. A shelter in the time
storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never live our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rocky one, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our help forever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim man, a shelter in the time of storm.
Amen. And thank you, Savior, for being our shelter in any time of storm. All we have to do is look up and ask for your help, and we then have you to shelter us. Amen. Beautiful duet, dear Sister Lynn and Sister Mom there. That was beautiful. Well, dear ones, it's time for opening prayer before we get into our question and answer session. And who would like to offer that for us? Please feel free.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Sabbath day. Thank you for creating in us the ability to sing and to praise your name in song, and thank you for singing along with us. Be with each one of us and help our answers to be sufficient, our questions to be sufficiently answered. And thank you, dear Lord, for this time together and for the fact that we can still meet together in this day and age. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And who would ever think that having a home church online was actually something that was beneficial to the world? You know, with the lockdown of various countries and communities and states and everything else, having an online home church where we can gather is complying with the requirements. Amen. Divine wisdom, God's perfect plan. Amen. And what a privilege it is to be able to come together and from different parts of the world to worship God in spirit and in truth. And to be able to have the freedom to ask questions, you know, it's not, I didn't want this home church to be so formal, so fixed in what takes place exactly in what portion of time, etc. I wanted this to be more of an open platform. And it's true, we do have kind of a set guideline for different meetings where questions can be asked afterwards. But I feel that questions are just as important as fixed studies. In fact, sometimes questions are even more important than that. Because if an individual has a question on a particular topic, they're not going to be able to advance in understanding that topic until their question is answered. And so when we're dealing with the issue of separation, or we're dealing with the issue of the Sabbath, or the issue of the state of the dead, or other issues that we may be dealing with, like the 144,000 or probation closing or whatever that may be, those questions prevent us from being able to see more clearly that big picture. And thus, it's like a roadblock that's hindering us from growing in grace and in knowledge of the truth. And so from time to time, we have a period like today where we just are going to open it up to questions. And Lord willing, we'll be able to find the answers in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, so you don't have to take our word for it. In fact, never take our word for it. Study it for yourself. Yeah, amen. Like a puzzle that you can't see the whole picture, just a piece at a time. And questions are like those pieces that you can't see where they go yet. So amen. Our first question, when will this coronavirus problem go away? I don't have a solidified answer for you on that particular question. I personally believe that this coronavirus is only going to be a temporary issue. I don't see that the powers that be desire us to always be socially distanced or remained at home for a long period of time, only a short period of time, because it's part of their plan to force everyone to go to church on Sunday when the Sunday law comes in. And we know that the Sunday law is just a very short time before it's implemented. It's in the very near future. So this coronavirus, I believe, is a test run. It's something that is dangerous, but I believe it's a test run to see how willing the American public and the Canadian public and the African public and all the other continental citizens go along with their restriction of freedom. Are they going to allow the government to be able to force them to stay home over a potential sickness, or are they going to fight against the restriction of their liberty? So I believe that this is only going to be a temporary issue, not a permanent issue, because prophecy brings out the fact that there's going to be a law that is passed that forces everyone to worship on Sunday. True, there's already been a pastor, a Sunday-keeping pastor, that was arrested because he kept his church open. I'm not sure if Florida passed martial law. If they did not pass martial law, then I believe his arrest is unjustified. It is going against the Constitution in restricting his right of assembly and his church members' right to publicly assemble in a peaceable manner. And, of course, in order to publicly assemble, you need the right to travel. So they all sort of go together there in the First Amendment. But it would be interesting to see the outcome of that case, because I'm sure he's going to contest it. We're going to file a lawsuit against it. And we'll see what happens. And so far, the vast majority of the world's citizens are giving up their freedom of assembly, their freedom to travel in order to stay at home in obedience to their governmental mandates. True. A comment in the room, it says, it did show how many people can be made scared of things going on. but it is also an opportunity to show our trust in the Lord. That is very true. That is very true. I do know that this whole situation of the coronavirus has made people more aware of the issue of health. And we have found individuals quite agreeable to receiving tracts on the health message. In fact, before the coronavirus, about half the people, well, maybe 60% of the people would take the tracts on health, but you would find individuals that really didn't like the health subject would refuse it. But now, out of all the tracts that we've passed out on health, there's only been one that has refused it, and it was, I think, due to the coronavirus threat, as she didn't want to take anything that was handled by someone else. But we've actually had individuals thank us with grateful hearts for the tract that deals with the eight laws of health, because they're concerned about the possibility of getting sick. And so anything on health that could help prevent sickness, they were very happy to receive. So God always has a blessing or a silver lining or a way to overcome what the devil puts forth as a restriction. God always has a way to turn it into a victory. Yeah, like a sheeple. That's a sheep connected with people. Sheep are very easily led by one individual in a particular direction. And we don't want to be sheeple other than with the Lord. He's our chief shepherd. And we definitely want to be followers of whatever the Lord would have us do without question. But in regards to what the government or others would have us do, including pastors, we need to make sure that we are following what God would have us do before anyone else. Another question about coronavirus. It says, will this coronavirus lead to mandatory vaccination? I know that that's what they would like to have occur. But again, with the word mandatory, you can have mandatory evacuation. You can have mandatory stay-at-home orders. But that doesn't mean it's backed up by law. Mandatory can be voluntary. For instance, when Katrina came through New Orleans, there was a mandatory evacuation of everyone from the coastal area of Louisiana. But that didn't mean if you stayed at home and disobeyed the mandatory order that you were going to be arrested for breaking the law. It just meant that there was not going to be emergency services that would be available to you if you chose to remain at home and not evacuate. And in fact, there was a lot of people that didn't evacuate. They remained right in New Orleans, and there was all kinds of problems because they did. There was no emergency services offered. Now, if that mandatory order is backed up by martial law is mandatory to obey, because if you disobey it, you can then be arrested. So there's a difference between mandatory and martial law. Now, regarding mandatory vaccinations, I don't see that that can be enforced upon everyone in the United States involuntarily. They would have to comply with the mandatory vaccination. And those who disobey that mandatory vaccination, it would have to be implemented by law before there could be punishments attached to it. And I think that pastor keeping his church open when it was not illegal to do so, I think that is a test of what's going to happen in the future regarding so-called mandatory orders versus lawful orders. So we'll have to see regarding vaccinations. I do know that the vaccinations that they are making contain a whole lot of other stabilizers and other areas that make it very dangerous to the body to take. So it's not just being vaccinated from the virus, corona, that you're getting, but you're getting all of these other additives and stabilizers and preservers and everything else in it that really affect the body in a negative way. Now they could pass a law that says any child that is not vaccinated cannot attend the public school system. And they could do that because it deals with the school system. And that child would have to stay at home unless they were vaccinated. But until it is made a law, which then would involve the law of that state, and if it's nationwide, it would involve the Congress, the Senate and the House getting together to make the law and vote it in, and the president would have to agree to it and everything else before there could be punishments attached to it. But just a mandatory vaccination is still voluntary. But you know, also through this coronavirus issue, people are becoming very fearful. And if you try to approach them and they're fearful of getting infected, they're not going to have anything to do with you within that 6-foot distance. So you can also recognize that when the Sabbath Sunday issue comes up and you're recognized as a Sabbath keeper, they may also seek to avoid you from fear. Fear that by you not going along with the powers that be, then you are not favoring society existing, or that you're not being, quote, a good citizen in showing favor to the rest of your community or nation or even the world. Because Sabbath keepers are going to be pointed out as troublers of society. They will not go along with the Sunday law. And since there's going to be catastrophes happening one right after another, and it's going to be blamed on not getting back to God and keeping Sunday holy, then Sabbath keepers are really going to become pointed out as the scourge of the world. They really don't care about individuals because they won't go along with the Sunday law. And you're beginning to see a little bit taking place here with the coronavirus. Yeah, that's right. Imaginations run wild. So, you know, whether the coronavirus is as infectious as people are claiming, or whether it's as deadly as people are claiming or not, you have individuals becoming very fearful. And I think that's only going to be capitalized upon with this issue of a Sabbath Sunday. And have you heard the news agencies or other individuals, even the internet, coming out and saying that the coronavirus is a judgment from God, it's a plague, and we need to get back to God? We need to make sure that we're following him so that this plague will not affect us or can be lifted. I've heard a couple of those reports. It hasn't yet become widespread, as I think it will. But you can understand that these crises and other catastrophes, people are going to be more and more pointing to the fact it's God's judgment, it's his displeasure being allowed to come upon us to bring us back to him. And of course, that's going to fall right into place with the Sabbath Sunday issue. Any other questions, comments, thoughts that you'd like to share?
Elder Rob, I placed two questions in the room as well.
One question, it says, would it be appropriate to go over the herbs mentioned in the natural remedies studies? I did not receive the email of these studies. Let me make a note and I'll send you the email, dear sister. The natural remedies is, are you referring to the special meetings we had on different things that were edible around the yard? Or, because that's the only special studies that we had dealing with edible plants in your front yard or backyard in the wild. We did talk about, as part of our Friday evening question and answer two Fridays ago, that there was what's called a master tonic, which has one clove of garlic in it. It has two medium red onions. It has 20 lime juiced, so 20 limes that are juiced. It had an eighth of a teaspoon of cayenne. It had an eighth of a teaspoon of ginger, powdered ginger, or 1-inch ginger root. And it had, was it 2 tablespoons of honey? I think it was 2 tablespoons of honey. And it's all blended up without any water. No, it had 3 tablespoons of honey. Thank you. It's all blended up in a blender, and it's not strained, and it doesn't have any water added into it. It's called a master tonic. And you take, or we would take, 1 tablespoon before our meals. So twice a day. Some take 2 tablespoons. For their meals.
In the rest.
And that is supposed to combat viruses, infections, throat problems, lung problems. It's to help the body build its immune system to fight off whatever may be out there, or to protect it from what may be out there. And it actually
does not. Could you repeat that, the master tonic, so we could write that down? We'd really appreciate it.
Sure. No problem, dear sister. It's 1 clove of garlic, 2 medium red onions, the juice of 20 limes. You could also use lemons, and some even use oranges. And obviously limes are smaller than lemons, and lemons are smaller than oranges, so you sort of have to guesstimate the amount of juice you get out of them if you use bigger citrus. But 1 clove of garlic, 2 medium red onions, an eighth of a teaspoon of cayenne, an eighth of a teaspoon of powdered ginger, or if you're using the root, 1 inch of the root. 3 tablespoons of honey. And you put all of this into a blender and you whiz it all up really good. You don't strain it and you don't add any water to it. And then you store it in a glass jar. It will make between 1 and 2 quarts of liquid of tonic. And then you take, we would take 1 tablespoon before breakfast and 1 before dinner. Unless you're having a fruit meal, you wouldn't want to take it then because of all of the vegetables in the tonic. But you take it once or twice a day, and that is to help build your immune system or to fight off whatever you might have. And garlic has an active property in it called allicin, A-L-L-I-C-I-N. And allicin is very potent in combating bacterial infections, viruses, including coronavirus, although it hasn't been tested on the current strain, but coronaviruses in the past, it has been effective against. It's also an antifungal, so if you're having fungus problems, garlic is a very natural way to combat it. And if you're not sick at all, it just helps build your immune system to fight off whatever might be coming in the future. And this might surprise you, I have been taking it as potent as it is. And it actually doesn't taste bad. It doesn't taste anything like I was expecting it to. It's not bad at all. So that's the master tonic. And Sister Lynn, was that the natural remedy you were referring to, or was there some other studies that you were talking about?
I did get that email, Elder Rob. Thank you so much. And it was the actual, I think, when we had the Tuesday night meetings where you were able to show the pictures and things like that. I didn't actually wasn't able to get that, but would that be appropriate to put that today?
Thank you, Sister. Yeah, I made a note to send that study to you, both of the Tuesday night meetings. But we really didn't go over them being like natural remedies. We went over them being plants that are edible that the general public would sort of look over, would sort of pass by if they were coming to get whatever food you might have stored in the house. They wouldn't worry about the dandelions that are edible in your grass. They wouldn't worry about the red clover. The flower of the red clover is a very good tonic for building up the body, the immune system as well. Red clover tea, I'm sure you've heard of that. So I guess we did talk a little bit about herbal remedies with the red clover tea, but also the short leaf and the broad leaf plantain, or narrow leaf and the broad leaf plantain. Not the banana plantain, but the plant, many call it a weed that's in your front yard. And we talked about how all grasses are edible. None of them are poisonous, at least here in America. But some of them are extremely hard to digest, and so that's why it's sort of the juice that's in the grass that is most beneficial. The rest of it is you know, basically roughage that or fiber that's going to help with the elimination process. But it's the juice that's in the grass that is most beneficial. So that's basically what we talked about in the Tuesday night special meetings. And anyone else that would like to have those meetings, send me an email and I'll send you the link to where you can download the meetings and be able to watch it as well as listen to it. Yeah, there's the master tonic in a glass jar. That's about half of what it was. So both my wife and I have been partaking of it. Another comment, it says, I was sent something that said it was caused by G5 and not the coronavirus. G5 is dealing with the microwave from cell phones that allow individuals to search the internet much quicker, much faster. And I don't think that the G5 emissions is what is causing the sickness from the coronavirus. It might be causing other problems because there are individuals that are sensitive to the microwave radiation from G3. And so you can see that G4 is more powerful than G3, and of course G5 is more powerful than G4. But I don't think that's what's causing the problems with the coronavirus issue. It might affect the immune system, and that could help get the coronavirus or other ailments. Now, I used to be able to scroll down one message at a time, but now with this new update, I can't do that. So if I miss your question that you posted in the room, please ask it. Let's see here. A comment here says, do we truly believe that God is in control and that nothing can be mandated unless he deems it so? And even then it would be to the glory of those trust and obey him or God? And if we are not yet there in believing this to be so, what should we be doing to get to that point by God's grace? Well, God is in control, and even in the crises that he allows to occur, or the different emergencies that he allows to take place, it is all designed to lead us to trust more in God and, of course, less in man. And if we find that our trust in God is not to the point it needs to be, then this would give us a chance to build it. And let's see, what should we be doing to get to that point? Obviously studying more, spending time with God, more time in prayer, more time in listening for what God would share with us or desire us to learn through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And so we do need to take time to listen. And time to study and learn.
Brother Sessler, I'm having a harder time with the chatting. I have one statement and I have one question. The statement is through God, Sister Rosita, she taught me how to make colloidal silver, and I've been able to share that with a lot of my coworkers and friends that are not believers, and it's drawing them closer to what is happening. And I thank the Lord, you know, for allowing through Sister Rosita to teach me these things, for my family and friends to understand more of what's happening, especially from what's happening now. Also, I was studying Revelation 8 and 9, and where it says that one third of man will be killed. I'm not sure of the whole thing, but does that have something to do what's happening now? Or I don't know if I'm saying it right, but thank you.
You're welcome, dear sister, and glad to have you in our fellowship again. Revelation 8 and 9, dealing with the trumpets and the seals, a lot of that is in the past. And so when you go to our website and you look up the trumpets and the seals there, the seven seals and the trumpets, you'll be able to see the historical significance of those things. But we do know that history will repeat. Not prophetic history is going to repeat, but history that's in the prophecies can repeat. And so, you know, with a third of mankind perishing, like it mentions there in Revelation 8 and 9, that could happen, not because it's in the prophecy, but history repeating. And we'll just have to see what the death toll is from the coronavirus. And then you sort of have to believe what the press tells you the death toll was. You know, whether they're going to highly exaggerate the numbers or whether they're going to lowball the numbers. You sort of have to go along with the numbers they give you. But that doesn't mean that's the real numbers. So what you hear on the news, 85% of it is wrong. Only about 15% of it is true. And so, you know, you really can't trust the news. Is there a coronavirus there? I believe there is. So you can trust them from that part. As to how many are being infected or how many are dying from it, you can't trust what you see on the news. It may be higher than what they say. It may be lower than what they say. You really can't. You can't trust what you see on the news. comment in the room, they wouldn't lie to us, would they? Um, 85% of what you see on the news is wrong. And that can be in the very simplest of facts. Or in the great issues that are taking place. So only about 15% is actually the truth that you see on the news. So we know that there's going to be a lot of individuals that rest in the Lord. We know that there's going to be a lot of other individuals that die in their sins. We know that there is a growing and increasing time of trouble that we find ourselves in now. And it's only going to continue to get worse until probation closes and Jacob's time of trouble begins. So this is definitely a time in which we should be watching, waiting, praying, and working for the Lord. And so if you're not yet doing those four things, waiting, watching, praying, and working, it is time to do so now. Quotation from early writings, page 85, the commencement of that time, or Jacob's time of trouble, here mentioned, does not refer, just a second here, does not refer to the time when the plagues shall be poured out, or shall begin to be poured out, but to a short period just before they are poured out, while Christ is in the sanctuary. Is this referring to the Sunday law, where God's people cannot buy or sell? Well, some have referred to this short period as being the little time of trouble. And Jacob's time of trouble, they referred to being the big time of trouble. And some of you are very familiar with the little and the big time of trouble issue. But whatever you want to call this short period of time of trouble before Jacob's time of trouble, when the plagues are poured out, we know that the Sunday law is going to come before probation closes, because the Sabbath Sunday issue is the test that everyone in the entire world needs to have before they can be sealed for God or receive the mark of the beast. So we know that the Sunday law is going to come to America, to Canada, to England, to Africa, to Asia, to all the nations of the world before probation closes, because every single individual on this earth is going to have the test of whether to obey God or to obey man. And as soon as the last person passes that test, makes their decision for God or for man, for the devil, then the end comes. So during this short period, this little time of trouble before probation closes, yes, the Sunday law is going to come into play. It will come, some nations already have the Sunday law, but they're not enforcing it. In America, I think it was 13 states out of the 50 have Sunday laws, but they're not being enforced. And we know that the Sunday law in America comes because of the catastrophes that occur so often that people believe it's God's judgments falling on the nation, and thus we need to get back to God, and a law is passed to force people to worship on Sunday. It will first come not as a law involving severe penalties, but as a mild law encouraging the people to worship on Sunday. Once that law is passed, you're going to have peer pressure, community pressure, all kinds of other pressures trying to force people to worship on Sunday. But as the catastrophes continue, then the law becomes more beefed up with greater penalties. And eventually that will lead to not being able to buy or sell. And this comes before probation closes, because it's all areas that bring a test to God's people, whether they're going to worship God regardless of the consequences, or whether they're going to go along with the powers that be and receive the mark of the beast. So not being able to buy or sell comes before probation closing, comes before the time of Jacob's trouble. It's all designed to force individuals to receive the mark or to face the consequences of staying with God. Let's see, any other... Yeah, true. We need to study God's word, especially prophecy. What is good to share with a Sunday keeper? Well, I would share with them Jesus Christ. you're not going to have much problem sharing Christ with a Sunday keeper because they believe that they're worshiping God. But as you bring up the fact that Christ was the Lord of the Sabbath, not the Lord of the Sunday, then that brings that whole issue up. But Christ becomes the center of that issue. Are they following Christ, who's the Lord of the Sabbath, by worshiping on a day that he's not the Lord of? So instead of just going right into the Sabbath Sunday issue without Christ being the center of that issue, is only going to allow an argument to take place. But when you bring Christ into the center of that discussion, then they see it's of greater importance than they may have understood before. Why would they want to worship on a day that Christ is not the Lord of? So that might help in that regard. There's a comment here. It says, from the Lifestyle Center, a natural remedy as a suggestion only for helping combat coronavirus. It says that the pH of the coronavirus varies from 5.5 to 8.5. And that I think up to 7 is the medium between what is considered acid versus what is considered alkaline. And so the coronavirus ranges from 5.5, which would make it acidic, to 8.5, which would make it alkaline. And then it says here that all we need to do to beat the coronavirus is to take more of alkaline foods that are above the pH level of the virus. Some of these are lemons, which are 9.9 on the pH factor. Limes are 8.2, avocados are 15.6, garlic is 13.2, mangoes 8.7, tangerines 8.5, pineapple is 12.7, dandelion is 22.7, wow. Orange is 9.2. So the greater the alkaline food that you take would help to combat the lower pH level of the virus. So thank you for that. I wasn't aware that dandelion was so high in alkaline. So thank you for that. Any other thoughts, questions or comments that you'd like to share, dear ones?
It's been brought out that the coronavirus is not a living virus, that it's a protein covered by a thin layer of lipid or fat. And so to wash your hands properly and to break through that fat layer, the protein starts to disintegrate. So you want to lather up really good, get a lot of foam, and break down that fat layer around that protein to destroy it.
Amen. Thank you for that. They recommend washing your hands vigorously for 20 seconds, getting a bunch of lather up from the soap, which will break the fat layer that's around the virus and then expose the virus, which means it's not going to harm you because it's not going to get inside. Yeah, true. Gasoline would dissolve the fat. Also, rubbing alcohol or any alcohol that is above 65%. So that means none of the hard liquor is going to take care of the coronavirus. So those who are believing that they can drink liquor and kill the coronavirus aren't going to have much success. Because even the highest proof vodka is not 65% alcohol. So rubbing alcohol will break down the fat and the virus won't harm you. Also, drinking hot liquids that are above 77 degrees Fahrenheit will break down the fat and get rid of the virus. So if you have, it's been shown that the virus can live in your moist throat up to 4 days. But if you drink hot tea that's above 77 degree Fahrenheit, then it will dissolve the fat around the virus and it will be harmless. So, yeah, isopropyl alcohol, rubbing alcohol. Are some ways that you can defeat the virus if you believe you've been exposed. So making sure you wash your hands at least 20 seconds with a lot of, you know, the foam from the soap. Or if you believe you've breathed it in, drinking hot liquids will help to prevent that. Some say that using salt will help, but I don't think that's a great way of combating the coronavirus, because salt doesn't do much to the protein covering. It might help to preserve, but it doesn't do anything to break down the fat. So I would not recommend gargling with salt or something like that to stave off the coronavirus. It might be good for bacteria and such, but not the coronavirus. Let's see, there was another question here. Do you think that this is the little time of trouble? I do think that we're in the little time of trouble that is only going to increase and grow in intensity until probation closes for the world and then the time of Jacob's trouble occurs. So yes, I do believe that we are in the little time of trouble, or as the spirit of prophecy calls it, a short period before Jacob's time of trouble. Let's see, any questions I've missed? Do you think Jesus is coming back in our time? I really hope so. when I first started this ministry, my kids were really young. And so I was praying to God that they would be able to get to a age in which they would be able to be able to walk or run or do those common things and survive better. And then they got to that age, and here we are, 20 some years later. And, well, let's see, it'll be 30 some years later. And I've thought that Christ would come way before this time. But we know the reason why he hasn't. And it's because we are not yet ready. And so in mercy, Christ delays his return. He pleads with the Father, saying, more time, more time. I've given my blood for my people and they're not ready yet. And in mercy, God delays the time to give us a longer period of probation than what we should have had. So does that mean that Christ isn't going to come this year? He could. Does it mean he's not going to come till next year? That might be. But we have the privilege of hastening the coming of our Savior. And the longer that we delay our getting ready, the longer the devil has to bring more souls to destruction, which means we are partly responsible. We're partly guilty for souls losing their salvation because of Christ's coming being delayed. So that's why Christ mentioned that he may come in the morning watch. He may come in the afternoon. He might come in the evening. And that's not just dealing with the literal coming of Christ. That's dealing with our probation closing. It might come in the morning. It might come in the afternoon. It might come in the evening. And if we're not ready for it, we're going to be lost. So that's why we're to get ourselves ready and prepared now, because tomorrow is not promised to any one of us. If we die tonight, our probation is closed. It's either closed on God's side or it's closed on the devil's side. So our focus should be on getting ourselves ready and prepared, because our probation may close today. Amen. That is a great song. Would you like to start us out, dear sister?
Sure. The theme of the Bible is Jesus and how he died to save man. The plan of salvation assures us he's coming back again. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand in your place? Are you ready to look in his face? Can you look up and say, this is my God? Are you ready for Jesus to come?
Don't cling to the world and its treasure. This earth will soon pass away. Oh, give him your love without measure. He's calling you today. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand in your place? Are you ready to look in his face? Can you look up and say, this is my God? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Amen. Great selection, dear sister, and suggestion. Let's see, there was a question. It says, can you explain Revelation 17:10-11, which states, and there are seven kings, five are fallen and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And dear brother, I don't know how to explain and have it completely backed up with proof the identity of those seven kings that are fallen. I have my own theories about it, but I have not been able to prove whether what I believe or whether what others believe is the truth. And so I pretty much kept my theories to myself until I have solidified proof to be able to reveal it to others. And I've actually argued with myself back and forth on whether my theories are correct or whether other theories are correct. I have heard of the seven being applied to the seven different types of Imperial Rome's authority. Going from the different stages up to the imperial and so on. But I really don't know. I've tried to apply it to the various ruling nations in history. You can find five of them. You know, going back from Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, but you also have Egypt and Israel in there, because Israel was a world ruling power at one time, at least the civilized world. So you can find five there. And of course you can find where the papacy ruled for a time, and then you can find. So I don't really know the correct understanding of that. I do know that the beast of Revelation 17 is not Catholicism. Ellen White talks about the beast arising out of the bottomless pit during the French Revolution. And of course, we know that in the French Revolution, the Catholic Church was given its deadly wound. So the beast of Revelation 17 is not the Catholic Church. The woman rides on the beast. The woman represents Babylon, of which the Catholic Church is part of. But the beast that carried the church is not Catholicism. So we know that the beast in Revelation 17 is not the Catholic Church. It's a different power. It's a different entity. And since Ellen White connects it with the French Revolution, we know that the entity was spiritualistic in nature. So we know that the identity of the eighth, that is of the seven, is not Catholicism. It's a spiritualistic power. We know that the Illuminati was one of the powers that came up in the French Revolution, or manifested itself in the French Revolution. And the Illuminati is a secret society, just as the Masons are a secret society and some of the other societies. And so it is quite interesting that we can understand that the beast is not Catholicism, and that the beast is pointed to the secret societies that actually control the things in the world. We know that much. But as to the identity of the seven before her, we know the papacy was one of the horns, but not all the horns. So it's quite interesting. straight bleach, I guess, being used on the coronavirus. And straight bleach is very destructive. So I imagine you're talking about the bleach that you have buying on the shelves, which is like 3% bleach. That is a very good disinfectant for it. I'm not sure how bleach does on fat, though. If it breaks down fat, then bleach would be good to use against the coronavirus for cleansing. But if bleach does not break through fat, then it's not going to have much success against the coronavirus. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Please go right ahead.
It was,
go ahead.
It was a bleach disinfectant. So it was mixed with something else. And the people that sprayed these migrant workers in India, they were reprimanded for it because it was not, what does it say? Oh, where did it go? It was not required to do in the country. It wasn't required to do this. So they were reprimanded for it.
Yeah, I was reading in Great Controversy about prophecy, and it states there that in the end times or at any time, it is very, very good to study up on prophecy, because when you're studying prophecy, you have the Holy Spirit with you, and there can be new light revealed to you. And so they're admonishing people to study the prophecy. I just wanted to bring up that on Wednesday nights, we're studying Daniel and Revelation. And all of those that are interested in prophecy, please join us. It's quite a good session.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. No, but regarding bleach, I'm uncertain if bleach breaks down fat. If bleach does break down fat, then it would be good against the coronavirus. If it doesn't break down fat, then it's not going to help with the coronavirus. It will help to disinfect because it kills bacteria, and exposed viruses, I guess. But if it doesn't break down fat, then it's not a very good protector from the coronavirus. The Wednesday night meeting begins at 6 p.m. Pacific. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, questions? Please go right ahead. Question, many are being put to sleep spiritually. How are we to help strengthen them for life or for death? Spiritually wise, we're to bring them directly to Jesus and to awaken them to the nearness of time ending. Physically wise, we are to point them to the laws of health, which will bring them to Jesus and as the great physician. And in pointing out the laws of health, that will help their physical bodies to become more strong, and that will help their minds to clear up, and they'll be able to be better prepared for life or for death. But spiritually speaking, spending time in the Word, leading them to recognize the shortness of time, the signs of the times around us is one way to wake them up. And that's what gave a lot of power to the first angel's message going forth in 1833, is that the prophecies were pointing to an end coming in 1843, they thought. And so the closer they got to that particular point in time, the more people began to wonder, what's the end that's going to come in 1843? And thus they were brought directly to the prophecies, which pointed them to Jesus, which pointed them to get themselves ready. And so we have a similar work to do now by pointing to the signs of the times, showing that the coming of our Lord is near. And then that will help to wake them up, saying, what shall I do to be saved? So, amen. Let's see, was there some other questions here? Where is the little time of trouble found? Well, one passage was in early writings, I think it was 85, paragraph 3, if I'm not mistaken, where she talks about a time of trouble, and then earlier in early writings, and then on page 85, she gives a clarification, and she says that the time of trouble referred to here was not Jacob's time of trouble, but to a time of trouble that occurs a short time prior to Jacob's time of trouble, while Christ is still in the sanctuary in heaven. So that's one place you can find the quote, little time of trouble, unquote, that people refer to. And I think it's early writings. It's within the first 50 pages. I want to say 33, but that may not be it. But if you go to early writings 85, it will then tell you what page to read that has that in it. And Brother Jim mentions that the prophecy seminar is not going to be at 10 p.m. tonight. It's going to be at 11 p.m. And so if you find yourself up during that time, or if you're on the other side of the world when it's morning for you then, please make a note of that. Are there any other thoughts or comments, questions? Please go right ahead. Question, what is tonight? Our Ukiah Home Church brethren are not able to meet in their Ukiah church. So they are meeting here in the Zoom chat room, and their services begin at 2:30 p.m. today, Pacific time. But they also have a prophecy seminar that they're putting on, and that begins at 11 p.m. tonight, Pacific time. And so it's going to be tomorrow early in the morning, Eastern time. But it begins 11 p.m. tonight, Pacific. And I believe it's mainly for those on the other side of the world that wanted to have an explanation of prophecy given to them on various topics. And so for their sake, it's being held later in the evening, because it will be morning for them at that point in time. I have a wonderful Sabbath as well, dear Sister Lynn and Sister Mom, and have a wonderful new week, and we will look forward to having you in fellowship again soon. And I'll be getting the password number posted on our website probably by tomorrow, if not it'd be early in the week. And praise the Lord, it's going to be the very same password number for both the room and the phone. They each have their own password, so, but it's going to be the same password. It's not going to change. And so that makes it a lot easier than having a password that is just random. But look forward to having you with us in fellowship again soon, dear Sister Lynn, and others as well. Good to see you, dear Sister Brenda and Brother Larry. Been keeping you in prayer, and thank you for your prayers for us as well. Are there any other questions, dear ones? Any other thoughts, comments? Any other songs that you'd like to hear sung or would like to sing for us? And please go right ahead.
Just reading from Great Controversy, this statement. But the Savior declares, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's found in John 8:12. And then the comment is, whoever is with singleness of purpose, seeking to do God's will, earnestly heeding the light already given, will receive greater light. To that soul, some star of heavenly radiance will be sent to guide him into all truth.
Amen. And thank you so much, dear sister. And we know ultimately that guiding light is the Spirit, but some star could be referring to the angels that are sent as ministering spirits to help God's people. So amen. Let's see, another quotation that said, this is from Review and Herald, December 18, 1888, paragraph 26. And it says, if you are walking humbly with God, you will understand the truth and the preparation necessary to be made for this time. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. If you believe this and walk out by faith, you will be saved in the kingdom of glory. We should not try to know the whys and wherefores of everything, but be content to know the simplicity of godliness. And that simplicity is, God says it, I will follow. Jesus Christ has laid the plan of salvation and opened the way before us, clear and distinct, that even the simplest who desire the truth may find it. Special forces of darkness are at work to encircle us and to take away our liberty of conscience. The mouths of those who have not kept pace with the work are closed, and they do not know what to say. But we, who have been waiting and watching for the appearing of our Savior, are not taken by surprise. Amen. We know it's coming. We're preparing for it. Because when it is against the law of the land to speak the truth, we have to obey God rather than men. And some nations and some states have laws that prevent you or are trying to prevent you from speaking forth the truth, whether to gays, homosexuals, transvestites, or to Sunday keepers. There's what's called hate laws that are designed to muzzle you so that you cannot share a thus saith the Lord with particular individuals, or you will be breaking the law. England has laws of that stringent a matter, and so do other nations. So we already see some of the restrictive laws here that are seeking to muzzle individuals from speaking forth the truth. we have to obey God rather than men. Amen. Comment in the room says, we need to be like those who carried the ark of God, or the priests. They stepped into the river by faith, as God told them to do, go forward. And so we must also step out in faith, not knowing where the Lord will lead us. And that's true. It's a very good point. God said to go forward. And it wasn't until the priest put their feet in the water that God parted the Jordan River and made a way through that obstacle. So, amen. Here's another quotation from the Review and Herald, December 18, 1888, and this is paragraph 27. It says here, are there not men and women in this congregation who have a work to do for the Master? Are there not those here who should go into new places and work as missionaries? We need missionaries at home, and we need missionaries who will go out into new fields and see what they can do. Trade upon your one talent or two talents. Although your talents may be limited, God will accept them. Why bury them in the earth? Go to work and do your best. Go to work and do your best, and God will give you some fruit for your labor. Oh, I would rather come to the Master with garnered sheaves than to have treasures of gold and silver. Give me souls as the fruit of my labor, and I will not ask for convenience or ease in this world. Are there not men and women here whom God will call to give an account for the ability he has lent them? There are souls for whom you are to work. There are youth with whom you are to plead. There is work to be done in the temperance line. And here you sit, from Sabbath to Sabbath, listening to the truth, while souls are perishing around you. Why not let the light which God has given you shine on the pathway of others? I beg you to consider this matter seriously. Amen. Another question is, is it possible for those who are converted after the Sunday law is passed to be part of the 144,000? And the answer is yes, most definitely. My understanding is that the 144,000 is a literal number. And as soon as the last person is added, making up 144,000 people that are fully dedicated to the Lord, that are as Jesus Christ in the flesh. In other words, their character is like his character. Then the end comes, because Christ says, my bride has made herself ready. So, not all the 144,000 are going to be made up before the Sunday law is passed. There's going to be some, and it might even be the case that the great majority of the rest of the 144,000 are going to be made up after Sunday has become a law. But when the last person is added, when that 144,000th person is added to that group, then probation for the world closes. Christ throws down the censer and says, he that is holy still, and he which is filthy still. My bride has made herself ready, and I'm coming to get her. You know, he's waited since 1844 for his bride to make herself ready, for his people to image him in character completely. And he's not going to wait a moment longer than when that number is made up. Question says, can anybody that has physical disabilities be part of the 144,000? And the answer is yes, because to be part of the 144,000, deals with your character. It doesn't deal with whether you can walk or anything like that. It deals with your character. So as long as your disability is not a mental disability, then you have the ability to choose to do right and to avoid doing wrong. And if you do that in every aspect of your life, then you're going to become perfect in Christ Jesus. And thus, one of the 144,000, if you're faithful to the end, whether that end being the close of probation, not the end of your life, because not one of the 144,000 see or taste of death. So it doesn't matter what physical disability you have, as long as you can perfect your character by choice, then you can be a candidate of the 144,000. Now, your physical disability may be because of old age. But if you can perfect your character at any age, then you can be a candidate for the 144,000. So it's not just young adults that can be part of the 144,000. You can have old adults as well. And it's not just adults that can be part of the 144,000. You can have children. So age is not so much a matter with becoming part of that special group. It's the choices that you make on a continuing basis that allows you to be part of that group. And you know, with the internet, you can witness effectively all around the world from your home. So those that are disabled and are not able to get out, you can still witness effectively through the internet. Amen. God does have the power to preserve life. So it doesn't matter if you're in your 80s. You can still be part of the 144,000. It deals with character.
You know, Elder Rob and everyone, we used to have elderly, we used to call her like Mama Bernice. And I'm not sure if anybody know about her, but when she had gotten her stroke, she was kind of a little bit happy that the Lord had made it happen because she had to go to a nursing home. And while she was in nursing home, she gave the gospel to the nurses, to the doctors, anybody that was passing, anybody that came to visit. And before she got the stroke, anyone used to call her house and it was a wrong number. She said, "Hi, it's not a wrong number. Do you know anything about the Sabbath?" And she used to end up kind of sharing the gospel with wrong numbers when people would call with the wrong numbers to her house. Sometimes she said she used to pick up the phone book, and just when phone books was around, she would just pick up a number and call and start speaking to individuals. So even though she was elderly, she couldn't go out and give the message, but in every chance that she had and any place that she was in, she was able to do so. So she kind of gave an idea that even though she was older, she couldn't do a lot of things, but every chance she had, she was able to share the message with someone. I just wanted to share that.
She was a beautiful soul. She was full of love and caring. It come back to my remembrance the way she used to treat me. I felt so special. I felt as one of her son. And her words were always soft and sweet. But your spirit recognized those words and took them in. That was Sister Bernice. I wanted to share that to you.
Amen, and thank you for that testimony about our dear sister. Looking forward to seeing her on the Sea of Glass. Are there any other thoughts, questions, comments, songs? I think I said that already. Please go right ahead.
I like to sing a new hymn that I learned from last night. It is called Another 6 Days Work Is Done. Another 6 days work is done. Another Sabbath is begun. Return my soul. You'll enjoy thy rest, improve the day that God has blessed. Come, bless the Lord whose love assigns so sweet a rest to weary minds. A blessed antepass is given. On this day more than all the seven. Oh, that our thoughts and thanks may rise as grateful incense to the skies. And draw from Christ that sweet repose, which none but he who feels it knows. This heavenly calm within the breast is the blessed pledge of glorious rest, which for the church of God remains the end of cares, the end of pains. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. And that's a new one for me, but it's a great one. And you know, in the times in which we live, it gives great hope and encouragement to know that we have the Savior, Jesus Christ, as our own. And that gives joy and happiness. When you realize that. And that leads to this song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture, no worse in my sight. angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
This is my story,
this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. And what a blessed assurance that is, dear ones. Well, it's been a wonderful time to be with you today. Thank you so very much for your questions, your comments, your thoughts, the songs that you've sung, and your participation, dear ones. And now it's time for our closing song, which is In These Troublous Times. And when the devil is doing everything to discourage us, we need to spend time thinking upon God's goodness, what He's done for us in the past, and what He's currently doing for us now. And one of the best ways to do that is to count your blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Wow. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Amen. And that's one of the quickest ways of becoming happy, is by focusing on what God has done for you, is doing for you, and then you know he will continue to do for you in the future. And how can you be sad when you discover how many blessings God has given you? Well, please join me in bowing your heads and also kneeling, dear ones. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, for your many and wonderful blessings that you showered upon us, though unworthy we are. We also thank you for not leaving us in darkness, but bringing us into the marvelous light of truth that shines from our dear Savior. Thank you also for the greatest blessing of all in sending the Holy Spirit to be a comforter, a guide, a companion, to convict us of our sins, to show us the straight, narrow, upward path of righteousness, and to let us know that we need to be earnest and awake and alive in these perilous times. Thank you that we can flee to our Savior in any time of need and know that he's there, that he is sheltering us, and that we cannot fall as long as we stand upon him, the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, dear Savior, for also being our great physician, and that there never was a disease that could not be healed by just a thought from you, or a word, or a look, or a touch. And thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness and compassion that we have the health that we do. Forgive us for doing anything in breaking the 8 laws of health or your commandments. And help us, dear Spirit, to recognize these areas of neglect and sin, to repent of these, and to change our lives that we are no longer sinning against our Father, either in the natural laws of health or in the moral laws of the Ten Commandments. We want to be part of the 144,000. Help us to strive for that goal. But if you see that we can bring more glory to our God and Savior, more precious souls out of Babylon to your kingdom of righteousness by dying, then let it be so. And we thank you so very much for knowing what is best for each one of us, and help us to humbly submit to your will, knowing that it is the wisest course and that we would choose no differently if we were able to do so. Thank you for coming soon. Help us indeed to be waiting and watching and working and praying, using our talents to the very highest standard in Christ Jesus and not burying them in the earth. We want your approval, not your denial, when we stand in the judgment. And thank you, Savior, for making it all possible. Be with us now as we part and bring us back together again. And thank you for helping us to overcome the roadblock in today's meetings and allowing so many of our church family to be with us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts or comments, questions that you'd like to share before we close today's service? Please go right ahead. Well, may God bless one and all, and we're looking forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. Keep moving forward and keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. Let's go around.